us. Steve Kearney on board, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Get a kick out of that. What I'm going to do right now, middle of August, double down on the Raiders make the playoffs so she doesn't need to redo that open. They got Mendoza. They got Kirk Cousins. Raiders make the playoffs. I'm going to double down on it here in 2026. How you been, Steve?
Been great, been great. Yeah, I don't know about the Raiders, but how about this weird weather, man? It's I was out today for 4 hours, and it was like wind shifts and rain coming in, and then it was just weird. Caught some fish today. I was surprised it was as good as it was, and got some rain, too, which was really nice. But still catching fish in shallow water, 5 to 7 feet today was the best, pulling little crankbaits. And really what's going the best right now are really nice bluegills. And I'm catching those on really tiny little crankbaits, about 1.5 to 2 inches long, and just going along the shorelines in that 8 to 11 and, you know, just kind of moving along. And what I'm trying to do is trigger these fish. And bluegills, when they're large, will hit a crankbait. And this sort of eliminates the small fish, because a lot of the little bluegills will just bang off it and kind of bounce off it. But it's a really good way to find bigger gills on whatever lake you happen to be on. And they're so aggressive. They hit so hard. And they are tremendous eating. Some people think that that's the best eating fish there is. And you really want to kind of be careful on how many you take. You know, finding a good lake with good bluegills is kind of tough. And there's not a lot of them, and they've been exploited, you know, for years and years. And so instead of taking 10, try taking 5. You know, that's plenty for a meal, and, you know, let the rest go. So that's just a suggestion for those out there that love big bluegills, and found some crappies mixed in with them today. So it was overall, considering the weather, pretty decent day and a pretty decent week.
Yeah, and it's so fun, you know, especially if you can put kids, young anglers, bluegill, sunfish. It's just such a fun bite and a great experience. I remember a long, long time ago, we were at a resort, Bad Axe Lake out of Park Rapids, Isle of Dreams on a peninsula, and I remember going fishing with my grandpa, and we got on some bluegills, and it was just great fun. I remember it. I don't want to admit how many years ago it was, but good memories long time ago.
Well, you know, most people just kind of park themselves on the edge of a weed line, throw a bobber out, and they'll anchor, and they're kind of waiting for the fish to come to them. And right now, there's so much food in the lakes. There's small minnows, there's larvae, there's crayfish. I mean, they have so much food. But with these crankbaits, you can trigger them to bite. They can be absolutely full of food, and they'll hit a crankbait. It's what I call a reaction bite. Comes by fairly fast, and they don't really have time to think about it, and boom, they hit it. And it's a really fun way to fish, but you really have to know what your crankbaits will do for depth. You know, a lot of people go out, and they throw out a crankbait. They don't have any idea how deep it goes. And they're getting hung up all the time, in the weeds or rocks. So you really have to know what the depth on every crankbait that you use. I'm using one that dives maybe 4 feet, so I can stay above the weeds and on the edge of the weeds, and it's not going to dive too deep to get hung up. So it really takes time to get out there in the boat, learn each and every crankbait that you have, what the depth it can do. And the more schooled you are on that, the more you're going to be much more efficient to know which one to use at what particular situation. So it takes time. It takes time on the water, and it's a learning experience, and it takes a while. But once you figure it out, it can be so effective in August, even into September. And it's just been great. But I kind of know what my crankbaits do, and that's really 90% of it. I know when I need to use a particular one. And, you know, I don't think about color much. Again, it's a reactionary bite, and they don't have time to look at the color to see if they want that or not. They just hit it when it comes whizzing by. And that's how you trigger fish, and, you know, right now in August and into September, because it's hot and there's plenty of food.
Yeah, and, you know, Steve, one of the things over the years we've talked about, and we don't talk about pursuing bass a great deal on this show, but there are some great fisheries in this state. Mille Lacs is a terrific bass fishery. There's a lot of good ones. You want to go out, and really the bass don't mind the heat.
You know, yeah, we have never really talked about that, and I catch a lot of bass just sort of accidentally when I'm mullet fishing and crappie fishing, bluegill fishing, and we are so blessed. And I'll tell you, when I get clients up here from Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, they just gush about how good our bass fishing is. And we have numbers, we have size, and up where I live in the Northwest up here, there's hundreds of options for nice largemouth. They're just everywhere. So I guess I'm, you know, I just overlook them because they're so common, but fun to catch. And, you know, some lakes have lots of numbers, a lot of 1 pound, 2 pound, but there's also lakes that have 3, 4, 5 pound largemouth. So, you know, we don't keep largemouth. That's one thing I think we got going, you know, good for us in Minnesota is most bass anglers just return them. And that's why bass fishing is probably the best in Minnesota. I can't think of any state that's better because we don't keep them. But people down south, they do keep them and they eat them, and that's just part of their tradition. But up here, we catch and release, and that's why our bass fishing is held up so well for decades.
Yeah, and they want to come up to our neck of the woods and get out of the crazy heat and humidity. It's humid today, but it's also not 90 degrees today anywhere here in the state of Minnesota. Steve, one other thing I do want to talk about. You get to the middle of August and you got your eye on September, and hunting starts to ramp up, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, this is really a fun time of the year, Steve. There's just so much going on right now, and August is when you want to get your tree stands out. I'm trying to do some scouting for doves right now, trying to find a grain field, which is very, very difficult in the state of Minnesota because there's not a lot of grain. And if you can find an oat field or something with some wheat, there will be doves, but they are so few and far between. So I'm doing that right now and, you know, looking at my stands, looking at ground blinds, kind of get everything going. I mean, the dove season's in a couple of weeks. Bow hunting starts in maybe 4 weeks. Early goose season's coming up. I mean, this is really a fun time of year when we make this transition, and the fishing gets better as we get into September and October. So a lot of things going on, but again, preparation in August is very important. You don't want to wait till September to start messing around with stands. And it's just too late. You got to get these deer used to your stands, used to your ground blinds, get them up in August and give them 4 or 5 weeks to kind of get used to it. And that's a real big key to success is do your homework in August, not September.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. Have a great week, and we'll get an update next Saturday, same time.
All right, sounds great. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney at stevekearneyoutdoors.com. He's been joining us for years. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday right here. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Rob Drew's sign in the Outdoor News has a great show between 5 and 6. He's got guests, a lot of info. Every Sunday, sports schedule permitting, twin schedule permitting, should have a full show tomorrow between 5 and 6 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. When we come back, Valley Fair at 50. The Vikes win their preseason opener in New Jersey today. Some bad injury news. We'll get into all of that here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Vikes win their preseason opener in the Meadowlands. Fox 9 on the air at 6 a.m., 6-hour pregame show today. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, my God.
No, I don't think Don Mitchell, Mark Rosen, and company were on Fox 9 at 6 a.m.
Maybe for week two of the preseason. Yeah. No, it really starts to ramp up in week two, guys.
So they had the pregame, they had the game today in the Meadowlands. Didn't seem like great interest. Like there were, it wasn't packed in the Meadowlands. It's one of those where you got to get a look. And I said at the open of the show, and this is really true. I think teams, whatever the sport, have a pretty good idea going into the season who's going to play. And I think that's even true at the high school level, that the coaches get together and go, all right, here's who we got coming back. You know, we may have some open jobs, but spots are set. Whatever the sport, volleyball, football, hockey, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever, that coaches going into the start of camp, high school sports getting going, kids are practicing, getting ready for the start of the season. And I think that's generally true. And when you played, you probably had a pretty good idea. You know, you felt like, hey, I'm going to be in the lineup. You know, I'm going to play, and this is my role. And maybe when you were younger and first getting, for instance, to high school, you probably thought, well, I'm going to try and win a job.
Yeah.
But by your junior and senior year, you pretty much knew.
I wish that were the case, Steve. It probably would have saved me a lot of therapy bills. Like, yeah, I picked the wrong position to have, like, yeah, you're good. We're just going to go. We'll slate you in. We don't have to have any
Lindsay,
problems.
You're good. You're our starting goalie.
Yeah, no. And that even went all the way through college, unfortunately. And I'm spending a lot of time trying to unpack that and why it was so effective for coaches to treat me poorly and how that got me going and to motivate me that way. But there are people that do get that kind of deference. I don't like that messaging. You're like, you're automatically on varsity to any of the young players. Because sometimes coaches will tell you that. Or if you're getting recruited into college, coaches will promise you things. If a coach is promising you playing time before you get on campus, you shouldn't be playing for them. Just straight up. Like that, you're not running the program the right way. I always say to the kids heading into college, and it's a little bit like high school, like you're working for your upperclassmen years. You shouldn't expect, unless you're truly one of those gifted, anointed ones, or somebody that steps on the ice and takes, you know, the session by storm, and sometimes that's happened. People come out of nowhere. But
The phenoms.
Yeah. And people that are given an opportunity and they excel to a great degree where they earn, you know, a different imagination from the coaching staff. Like, make them think. Make the decision hard for them. That's what I was always told. Make the decision hard for them, because honestly, you want people, you want your teammates, you want the kids on those teams to kind of buy into the program, buy into the system. And if you constantly have people coming in new that are taking the spots over the people that have been there, earned their place, like I said, talent, there's talent and there's hard work, and some people have one, some people the other, and the very rare ones have both. There's a health of a program that you have to maintain and making those decisions. And so it's an inevitable position to be in, whether you're a high school coach or a college coach. Having to deal with those decisions and the consequences of those decisions. But you're still there making such a huge impact on people, no matter where they play in the lineup, because you're just looking for that growth. Maybe it's somebody that wasn't dressing, and then by the end of the year, maybe they're on penalty kill. Like, what an improvement, what an important job to have and responsibility to be given. And so that's why I say to the high schoolers and I say to the college players who are working for the first time this summer, I'm like, you are working for that junior year opportunity, but you got to build your way up first.
Yeah. And I think back to the coaches, whether it's high school or college, and I know the portal has changed, so maybe that's not a good example, but I think at the pro level in particular with the Vikings, I think they have a pretty good idea at the beginning of camp. Mm. And that's why all of the shenanigans with Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy, and back to the Vikings for a moment, was kind of funny, because even the most casual observers go, oh, they brought in Murray, Arizona cut him loose, he's going to be the guy. And as it turns out, the announcement was made, yeah, Kyler Murray is going to be QB1, mm-hmm. and J.J. McCarthy is going to be QB2, and we have Carson Wentz and Max Brosmer in camp and so on and so forth. No one's shocked by that. And I think it illustrates the point that Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores and company had a pretty good idea at the start of training camp who's going to fill the big jobs. Mm-hmm. And I saw in the pregame show today that there still appears to be a competition for who the punter is going to be. And there could be spots where a young guy or a rookie could impress so much, and week one potentially crack the starting lineup or get snaps as maybe a nickel in the defensive secondary.
Right.
But I think for the most part at the pro level, you have a pretty good idea what this team's going to look like when you start camp. Timberwolves going into camp this fall. I think Chris Finch and company are going to have a pretty good idea. John Hines in the Wild, the list goes on and on. They're going to be pretty comfortable in what they've got. So you get to games like today in the Meadowlands, it's people trying to get that spot on the roster, being a backup, special teams, or hang on and be on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're really looking for the most part, in these three games now in the preseason, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything to be taken from the result today other than, is there a key injury?
Mm-hmm.
Or did some young guy make such an impression where it's like, we weren't sure he's going to make the 53. He could make the 53.
And it's never just one rep, Steve. Like, it's never just like the one play, this is why you made the squad. Sure. Like, it has to be shown that you can go out and have a bad rep, have a bad period, have a bad half. How do you respond? How do you respond to coaching in those moments? Can you go and be coachable and apply those things that are being told to you? Like, there's so many different ways and little micro, instances that things are decided. And I agree with you. I think there's a general idea, but you have to build it up. There has to be a collection of times where you made somebody think, if you're on that outside fringe, where you made somebody think, I can't ignore this. It was here, it was here, it was in practices, it was in the warm-up period, he asked a question. Like, make yourself undeniable. And not everybody can conjure that for themselves. But ultimately, there's freedom in never coming down to one rep. But then there's also the shackles of the necessity of consistency and bringing that level of competition, dedication, and everything else. And at this point, especially with the Vikings, like, all these guys mostly train here. A lot of them train here in the off season, or they're kept an eye on for the most part if they're not posting their workouts online just themselves. And so, like, they've been watching Nine all summer and seeing what improvements he's making and what he's not making. And he has his own interesting opportunity, because there will be a time that is not a preseason game that his number will be called again with Kyler Murray on this roster. What will happen then? Because I'm not ready to give up on him as a player, maybe not on this team, but in terms of your development, this is a huge telltale period for J.J. McCarthy as a competitor and as a professional.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward Ponder 2.0.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't blame you.
And it's kind of like someone will say, all right, that's an easy, cheap shot. But the injury in year one, injuries happen. I get it. But what we saw in year two, when available for duty, and he was injured. Once again, injuries will happen. There are others on the local sports scene that are oft injured. And when they are available, Byron Buxton, a great example, is tremendous. So, but when he did get those opportunities, to me, at times there was a staggering lack of maturity from J.J. McCarthy, and he's still a young guy.
Accountability.
I know what I was doing when I was that young, and it wasn't much. So there's that. But there's also things that have to be a concern that he's in his third camp with the team. This is what he does for a living, and you continue to hear whispers or concerns about things like footwork, fundamentals, etc.
Getting the ball out quick enough, right?
How are we, and that's why Lean pondered 2.0 at this point.
He's not as malleable as you would like him to be, especially mechanically.
Well, in just flat out getting better and showing the maturity you need to be a successful NFL quarterback. Now, Kyler Murray, in his defense, had some good, had some bad. Arizona's eating a lot of salary, cut him loose. The Vikings got him on a bargain. There was a reason they got rid of him. But it was also not a great situation.
No, that's a garbage franchise. That thing's a dumpster fire every other year. So, like, how much success? There's the old saying, like, the growth of the flower doesn't depend on the flower, it depends on the environment. And so, who knows? Maybe Kyler Murray goes out and is in, like, a conversation for MVP, Steve. And then at that point, we'll obviously trade him for Baker Mayfield. And, like, that's probably going to be the way to go. Literally, I'm like, if this doesn't work out, I want them to go get Baker Mayfield so bad. Because I love him as a competitor.
And that's going to be super intriguing in all of this. If Murray lives up to the promise of his high draft pick and has a tremendous amount of success on a one-year deal, then what? And then are the Vikings in a spot where it's like, we can't let him go. We can't have Sam Darnold 2.0.
Can't do it twice. Or even three times if you want to count Daniel Jones.
Yeah, there you go. He had a pretty good year with the Colts. Before that came unraveled.
Yes.
4:31. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. Great annual sporting event. This is as good as it gets. And a 103-year tradition, the Minnesota State Amateur Baseball Tournament starts at four sites on Friday and continues through Labor Day. Taunton Team Ball. Amateur Baseball, Mark Forsman, president of the MBA, joins us following the weather here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Steve Thompson, Lindsey Brown in on a Saturday. Twins and Phillies tonight. By the way, the Vikes won their preseason game in the Meadowlands today over the Giants, 13-10. But a quick follow-up if you're just joining us. Viking defender, linebacker, safety Jamal Adams' season likely finished before it begins. Head coach Kevin O'Connell updated Adams' injury after that preseason win over the Giants. He has a right knee injury. Get an MRI to confirm it is as serious as the initial exam showed. So bad news out of that game, and he was signed early in camp to join the Purple. Hey, a big event coming up. The 103rd State Amateur Baseball Tournament starts Friday at four sites. And Mark Forsman joins us from the Minnesota Baseball Association. He is the president. Mark, good to visit with you.
Nice to hear from you again, too, Steve.
Yeah, Mark, great time of year. I know teams are battling to get into the state tournament this weekend. Hopefully the rain stays away so we can fill out the field. And, of course, the big selection show on NSPN.TV tomorrow night at 6.
Yeah, hopefully, like, your weather report wasn't too encouraging for we're trying to get this tournament all seated and trying to figure out who's in what bracket and who's playing who, and so we can have our reveal show on Sunday at 6 o'clock, and hopefully the rain will hold off so we can accomplish our goals.
Yeah, 103rd tournament, extraordinary. I've been so fortunate to have a chance to call some of the games in the tournament in recent years, and it is just a fantastic event. Ball players from all over the state, these communities that host the state tournament every year and bid on hosting the state tournament, do a tremendous job. The ballparks are gorgeous. It is just one of my favorite annual sporting events in the state, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, you've been there, Steve. You see the atmosphere and all the passion that goes on the field, and it's just it's fun to see, and it just keeps building. And if you try to take an opportunity to get out to one of these games in Chaska, Shakopee, Jordan, and New Prague, close to the Twin Cities, drive down there and take a look at some passionate baseball games. I mean, you've called a lot of them. I mean, close ones and right down to the wire.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And the venues are great this year. You've got Chaska Athletic Park right there in Chaska down by the river. Great ballpark. New Prague, terrific ballpark. The Mini Met in Jordan. You got the Joe and Shakopee. I mean, this is a fantastic lineup.
Yeah, I mean, these parks have done it before. They're well-versed in how we run our tournament, and they treat the fans really well. You got affordable prices at the concessions, and the baseball is just great to watch.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Mark, and the way this tournament is set up, featuring the ball players and really good players from all over the state, whether it's Class A, from the cities, Class B, some of the perennial powers, and Class C. I think the new structure of this tournament has really paid dividends.
Yeah, I mean, it was to the point where we were kind of seeing the same teams coming out of Class C and perennial powers, you know, really good baseball teams, but our smaller communities and some of the ones that kept knocking their heads against some of these teams, something had to give. So we set up kind of a criteria on how to evaluate teams according to population and player points and then success. So it kind of evened out the playing field. So you're really getting, you don't see a bad game, a blowout, because they're so evenly matched, each team. And a lot of guys, we put a little pool on who's going to win the tournament. You're lucky if you get half of the teams right, because there's so many upsets and so many good games. So it's really equalized the classes, and it's made for a very competitive state tournament.
Yeah, and I hear it every year when the state championship trophies are handed out. It is a hard tournament to win, and that is no joke. It is a hard tournament to win. These teams that are able to win A, B, or C, they really pay their dues over 2 weekends, sometimes three, to be able to win a state title.
Yeah, you have to play three baseball games, you know, flawlessly, have great pitching, especially when you get to the third weekend, and as you're going deep into your staff. And then also you got to have a little luck, you know, you just, things work out, you know, and it's just kind of somebody's year. They get hot at the right time, and they're upsetting teams that they should have never been around. So
Mark Forsman joining us. President of the Minnesota Baseball Association. Once again, state tournament begins Friday night, four sites. Games continue through the weekend, and the next three weekends, it all ends on Labor Day. And you brought up affordable tickets. Some of these towns really turn out for this tournament, and really all these venues, year in and year out, see great crowds.
Yeah, it's been a blessing as far as just the people – you know, following their teams and coming out and encouraging their kids. They're all, a lot of them are local kids, you know. You've got a lot of ex-pro players and college players that are playing for their hometowns. A lot of pride there. So they want to win, and they get the following from their hometowns. Little towns bring, pretty much shut the city down and come and watch the tournament. And it's just a great experience for the communities that are in it.
And, by the way, you can catch a tournament. All the games are streamed at NSPN.tv. Every game of the tournament is available there. And then, of course, the reveal, the bracket, will be revealed tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Mark.
Yeah, what we're doing now, I've broken down my board members into different groups. So three of them will take Class A, three will take Class B, and three will take Class C. And right now, we're like, trying to put the brackets together. We're getting information coming in, and I'm sitting at my kitchen table right now trying to, you know, put a C brackets together. So we kind of do it so you don't have the same matchups as the previous year. And, you know, we try to keep, you know, it pretty even as far as how the games are played out and stuff between the sites. So there's a lot of logistics that go into it. I probably should learn how to use AI, because it probably saved me a lot of time, but I'm not that smart, so.
Yeah, and
but anyway, we have the reveal show, and then we will reveal who is playing who at what time and at what park. And I know Ryan Phelps, everybody knows him. Ryan will do a recap after every weekend and do a recap show and tell you how the tournament went that weekend.
Yeah, he does an outstanding job. And we should point out, this is an affordable family event at all these parks. And once again, close by, Chaz Canoe Prague Jordan Shock Weekend number one, Friday and Monday is single game sessions. $5 for adult, $1 for kids 18 and under. Saturday and Sunday are the multiple game sessions, $10 for adults to get in. That is a whale of a deal. And you can get into the entire tournament for just $50. And as you pointed out, concessions, Mark, at all these venues and all the years I've been going to the state amateur baseball tournament, the food at these parks, it's unique and it's outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, different communities take pride in, you know, who's got the best burger, who's got the best brat. You know, cheese curds, you name it. They're competing not just how nice their park looks, but how good their food is. And with that $10 ticket, like you said, Steve, you can go to all four parks for that $10. You get stamped. So if you want to see a game in Chaska, you get stamped at the gate. You can go to Jordan and get in and watch that game. So it's $10 for the whole day.
Yeah. It is a phenomenal deal and a great event, starting Friday and continuing through Labor Day. Hey, Mark, I know you got a lot of work to do. You're busy ahead of the show tomorrow night at 6, so we'll let you go. But hopefully see you at the ballpark one of the next three weekends.
Oh, I'm sure we will. It's good to see that you're calling some games again, Steve. So,
well, I keep my fingers crossed. Ryan hasn't sent out the assignments yet, so okay. I'm hoping.
I thought he would give you the big dog, so I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Good to visit with you. Mark Forsman, president of the Minnesota Baseball Association, 103rd annual tournament starting on Friday at the four sites. All phenomenal ballparks. If you haven't seen a game, for instance, at Chaska Athletic Park, and one of the great things, it's down there in the river bottom, Lindsay, and they have a line. They had those bad flood years in the 60s, and it shows how high they have a line on the side of the grandstand at Chaska, how high the river was, how high the Minnesota River got up the grandstand. It's insane to see how deep the floodwaters were.
You got to see it for yourself.
It's just one of those. When I walked in there for the first time, I'm like, wow, I would have been way underwater standing here next to the grandstand.
Yeah, this was really bad, guys. This was real bad. That's a cool little quirk about the baseball park, though. Those are the little things that keep the weirdos around, not just like the sickos that are really into baseball, but then there's the baseball weirdos.
Well,
find all the cool little things.
Yeah, and you New Prague's got a terrific park. The mini Met in Jordan is as good as it gets, and as I mentioned, the Joe and Shock P is also just an absolute gem right along 169 there. 11 minutes now in front of 5, quick break, we'll come back. The links on free TV tonight. You don't have to figure out where it is. It's right there on good old Channel 4 tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll talk links in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Stats are funny. It is so true. And I think the metrics... And I think in a roundabout way, I think they were making fun of the metrics and the number crunching in sport. And it has gone way, way too far. Didn't like the entire Angels staff or a huge chunk of people get the boot recently because they weren't using the numbers and the data correctly?
Were they stuffing stats?
You know, I read something about it and just moved on and said, well, the Angels, they stink, and the organization, and I think it starts at the top with any organization and goes down. it's not 100% on the players or the coaches or the managers.
Especially that organization. And like, yeah. This is a much lower stakes conversation that we're having than what was surrounding that organization with Tyler Skaggs' death and all that stuff that went on behind the scenes. And I know that's just not one team, but that's the only team that we have. And so, like, we can do better in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, but the number crunching to the point where it's like, wait a minute. You know, okay, some of these metrics are fine, but also it's also played and managed and officiated by human beings.
Right.
And that's kind of my rant, and you and I have talked about this. And this doesn't have anything to do with the Lynx game coming up tonight on Channel 4, which I'm actually really excited about, that it's on free over-the-air TV.
Finals preview, likely.
But
again,
we keep trying to remove the human element. Well, the numbers are going to tell us everything, and replay is going to make sure we get it right. And at every turn, we're trying to remove the human element from sports to get everything right. But remember, the reason we love the games is because they are played by and officiated by and coached by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And at one end, I'm still convinced all of this technology and all this infusion of technology is all just to feed the gambling beast.
Mm.
And I hate that part.
To reinvent an industry that just feeds me instead of the other, which is really the origin of America, if you really think about it. So
yeah,
we're just repeating history over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why can't we just live with the mistake the human umpire or referee made?
Right.
No. For the sake of the gambling, we have to get it right.
The gambling markets are going to become the premier information destination. We were talking earlier with Shaletta about with Brian McDaniel about the Minnesota primaries that were this week and how polling data, which has been, you know, losing its efficacy in the last 10 years more and more.
Yeah, the prediction markets.
But the prediction markets were on it because, of course, they were, Steve, right? That's the only truth we have anymore is the gambling truth.
The poll said Mike Lindell was the front runner.
No
but,
chance.
But the prediction market or the gambling market, that's what it is,
yep,
had Damoth, you know, the favorite. And as it turned out, that
my
was right.
My pillow guy was
sure
never
going to
win. Come on, guys.
By the way, Lynx and Aces from Vegas tonight. Marquee matchup. I mean, this is a big matchup.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock. CBS. How about that?
Let's
free
do it.
TV, Channel 4. We can all find that. And can the Lynx keep it rolling? Olivia Miles, Nafisa Collier, and company. So that is a big one tonight. Twins and Phillies. We'll talk more about that following the news in a moment.